Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to talk a little bit more about Elon stock sales. We had more Form 4s come out yesterday after recording, so we'll catch up on that. Then we also do have a report to NHTSA of the first FSD beta crash. No reported injuries, thankfully, but we'll take a look at those details. Then we've got some news on the Model S and X, a new feature that's been added, an update on the EV tax credit, and more. All right, looking at the stock, finally a little bit of a quieter day today. Tesla finishing down 0.4%, hardly seems like a move at all, given what we've been experiencing lately. But closing at $1,063.51, while the NASDAQ was up about 0.5% on the day. And not only was the move quieter, but the volume was as well. So only about 22 million shares trading hands today, down from about 43 million yesterday and about 59 million on Tuesday. So this should end up being the second lowest volume day for Tesla since earnings. Of course, we had more Form 4s filed last night. We'll talk about that in a second. But the low volume does make you kind of wonder if there was no further selling today from Elon. We're again just going to kind of be in this cycle where we're not really sure exactly what's going on until we get those Form 4s, which can lag by up to 2 days. That's under normal circumstances, and today it is actually Veterans Day. Happy Veterans Day. But because of that, the SEC offices are closed, so no Form 4s today, meaning we'll have to wait until tomorrow to have clarity on the finality of Tuesday's action. We got at least a little bit of insight into those Tuesday and even Wednesday trades with the rest of the Form 4s that came out last night after recording. That really threw a wrench in my whole episode there, but here's a really simple recap of what we learned from those additional 8 Form 4s that came out. So transactions on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday were all disclosed. We know that Monday, that's it because it's been 2 days, but we could still see more updates from Tuesday and Wednesday. We're just going to have to wait and find out. This could be all of them, or it could not be. But right now, here's what we know. We know on Monday, this is what we already talked about. Elon exercised and acquired 2.1 million shares of that 2012 performance award, and then sold 934,000 of those to cover taxes on that lot. So he did actually end up with about 1.2 million more shares after that set of Monday transactions, and those shares will have a cost basis of whatever the share price was when he exercised. Now, based on what he sold, it looks like the tax liability was about a little over $1 billion. And remember, that's because those awards are taxed as ordinary income. Anyway, then we got the rest of the Form 4s that disclosed selling on Tuesday and Wednesday, a little over 3 million shares on Tuesday and 500,000 on Wednesday. Now, this surprised me because Elon here was actually selling his core shares. So on these, he has to pay capital gains taxes. Unfortunately, we don't know what lots he was selling, so we don't know the cost basis of those shares, but I'm assuming they had a pretty low cost basis. And if so, that could have added up to just under $1 billion in capital gains tax that Elon would have had to pay on those sales. So across all these transactions, Elon probably brought in a little bit less than $5 billion in cash and then generated a tax liability of maybe $2 billion or so. After all this, though, he's only sold 4.5 million shares so far, and to sell 10%, that would need to be at least 17 million, maybe as much as 25 million shares. So he's got a ways to go still from what we have seen reported so far. And what is most perplexing to me is the selling of those core shares, because Elon's only exercised a very small part of that 2012 performance award. From what we have seen reported so far, there would still be 20.5 million shares that are vested there that have not yet been exercised. So the really perplexing component of this to me is why Elon would sell these core shares and generate additional capital gains tax liability when he could just be selling the higher cost basis shares that were just exercised. So the cost basis is the share price today. And that would generate no further tax liability while still selling the same amount of shares and generating the same amount of cash. Kind of the only reasons I can think of is that he intends to sell more than 23 million shares. That would require selling more than what's available from these options that will be exercised. And it could easily be interpreted that up to 25, 26 million shares represent 10% of his share count. So that could be a possibility. Or another possibility could be that he wants the capital gains taxes on his lower cost basis shares to happen now. Maybe he foresees those capital gains taxes going up significantly, so he'd rather have higher cost basis shares for that so that the capital gains tax, if increased later, would be on a smaller gain. That might make sense. It's probably a scenario that I would have to do a lot more thinking on. But if that's kind of the idea, then why sell the 934,000 newly exercised shares to cover those taxes? Why not just keep those and pay that off with other cash? It creates this sort of weird hybrid situation that I can't really grasp the logic behind. I guess the other possibility that sounds crazy, and I wouldn't even discuss it as a possibility if it weren't Elon, but Elon can do some interesting things sometimes. He might just be trying to actually pay more tax by using those older cost basis shares. If he really feels like he should pay taxes on those shares at this point, then maybe out of principle, that is just something that he decided makes sense to do. That would fit with the Twitter poll, and it's important to note that the Monday transactions, the options exercise and sale to cover taxes on that, those were pre-planned on September 14th, but the rest of these Form 4s, the sale of the core shares on Tuesday and Wednesday, those didn't have any footnote like that indicating any pre-planning. So maybe we just have to kind of view these as two separate things. One is just that options pool, and that's going to happen as it normally would, sell to cover taxes, and then that's sort of its own thing. And then maybe additionally, Elon is just going to say, okay, aside from that, we're going to sell 10%. So we're in the middle of a very strange situation that is unfolding right now. And again, hopefully we'll get a better understanding of this on Friday when we hopefully get more Form 4s, because as we have talked about, as long as this is ongoing, it's going to just create some uncertainty around the stock. All right, next up here, we've got the first, as far as I know, reported collision on the FSD beta. This is filed as a complaint to the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration, and the incident was on November 3rd in California and filed on the 8th. So keep in mind that this is just a complaint that has been filed with NHTSA. It hasn't been investigated or verified by any means. But the summary of the complaint reads, quote, "The vehicle was in FSD beta mode, and while taking a left turn, the car went into the wrong lane, and I was hit by another driver in the lane next to my lane. The car gave an alert halfway through the turn, so I tried to turn the wheel to avoid it from going into the wrong lane, but the car by itself took control and forced itself into the incorrect lane, creating an unsafe maneuver, putting everyone involved at risk. Car is severely damaged on the driver's side," end quote. As I mentioned, no injuries were reported. So obviously we don't have a ton of information to go off of in this complaint. I do find it a bit strange that they say that they tried to turn the wheel to avoid going into the wrong lane, but the car took control of itself. I think we all understand that if you actually turn the wheel, FSD beta, just like autopilot, navigate on autopilot, anything else, it will disengage. So sure, it's possible that that happened, but it's also possible that they're misremembering or just not fully describing it accurately. We can't really know without more of an investigation, so we'll see. I doubt it comes to an investigation fully like that. I'm sure NHTSA can probably get some more details without having it be a full-on investigation, but definitely something we'll have to keep an eye out for. And we all knew this was going to happen, right? At some point, there's going to be a collision, and fortunately, one of the first ones being reported here was injury-free. All right, next, we've got a couple of updates on Model S and Model X. First, on the wait times for both vehicles, if you can figure with the base just straight up configuration of white paint and normal wheels, not upgraded wheels, the wait time in the US for S and X is now March of 2023. Now, that's an extreme example because that's only for one base configuration, but if you add any options at all for both vehicles, it looks like it takes it to November 2022, still a year out, but definitely speeds it up quite a bit. And if you do upgrade to the Plaid for the S, that is December. And that's this December, and then the X is August next year. Obviously, X production has started much later. So you could read that as good news for demand or bad news for production, but it's also worth considering that Tesla does have to at some point ship internationally the S and the X, and even if production is a little bit slower right now, you would assume that they would project it to be increasing over that period of time, certainly by November. So I'd lean more towards demand and international batching being the reasons there. But it's been a while since I've looked into the projected international delivery windows. The other small bit of news on the Model S is that Jay Leno did finally post his episode of Jay Leno's Garage featuring the Plaid Model S. Leno's, of course, been a big fan of Tesla. This episode continues that, and it shows Leno beating the world record for a production car quarter mile time, though immediately after that, one of Tesla's drivers slightly one-upped his time. And of course, if you count the Rimac Navara as a production car, then that would beat the 9.2x time that they posted. All right, next up here, we've got a new software feature. This was posted on the Tesla Motors Club forum by member Spider-Man09 for firmware 2021.40.5, and it adds waypoints. And it's not even called waypoints, but it's called add stop. Probably one of the most requested features for Tesla over the years, and Elon finally succumbed to it, I think at the Plaid event, after getting hassled for it by the small crowd there. So I'm actually really excited for this too. There have definitely been occasions where I have wanted that feature. And even for just making FSD beta videos, it'll be nice to not have to constantly reroute in the middle of those. So I'm really glad to see that added, and it'll be really nice to have those waypoints incorporated into the trip planning process. Next, we've got a bit of a combo update. This is on two separate police forces making the decision to add Tesla vehicles into their police vehicle fleet, the first of which is Menlo Park. I'm actually going to be there next week. And just to be clear, like I had said before, no, not to interview Elon, sadly. But anyway, Menlo Park voting 3-2 to add three Model Y vehicles to the police fleet. And then also we've got Cambridge, Maryland also adding a Model Y to their fleet. So we've definitely seen this before from other cities. Fremont does it, but I think we'll start seeing more and more of this. And I think it's kind of, not that it's necessarily Hertz related in this case exactly, but I think we're seeing more business adoption of EVs and specifically of Teslas. And just like how customer referrals help in the consumer space, they help in the business space too. More and more businesses will start realizing the advantages, and that'll spread. All right, last item today is an update on the EV tax credit. As we have talked about, it's kind of in a holding pattern right now as the cost of the budget reconciliation plan is reviewed. But Senator Manchin, who has been a key holdout so far, has again expressed opposition to the additional $4,500 union EV credit. Quote, "When I heard about this, what they were putting in the bill, I went right to the sponsor and I said, this is wrong. This can't happen. It's not who we are as a country. It's not how we built this country. And the product should speak for itself. We shouldn't use everyone's tax dollars to pick winners and losers. If you're a capitalist economy, that we are in society, then you let the product speak for itself and hopefully we'll get that and that'll be corrected." End quote. So that portion still seems to be in focus, which I view as a positive, not only just because of the union carve-out, but because, as the language sits today, that allows plug-in hybrid EVs to qualify for that $4,500 credit, making their max credit $9,000, which is more than a Tesla could get at $8,000, and is pretty ridiculous for a vehicle that could only have $1,500 or so, maybe even less, worth of batteries. So if this union part just got stripped out, that would limit the plug-in hybrid max credit to, I believe, $4,500. So we'll see, but at least there is some opposition by a key vote here. So that'll do it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, November 12th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.